Pat and Betty, how did you get involved in social justice issues?
I think the first time I got involved, and it was when my husband was alive, we were members of the Council of Canadians, and the big issue a number of years ago was health. And they were going to do all kinds of things to the health program, and we were fighting against that. And we did go to protests in the freezing cold. They were always, for some reason, always in the winter, always frozen. And I think that's when I really got seriously involved in social issues, probably influenced by my husband, who was very active in thinking about these kinds of things. But even earlier than that, I remember we lived in a small town north of Toronto, and the municipal council wanted to build a highway right through the village, which was a lovely little village. It is no longer a lovely little village, but it was then. And we fought tooth and nail for that, against that road going through, because it was going through to nowhere. And I think we've always been aware of what's going on, things that were going on that we didn't think should be going on and should be dealt with in another way. But it was, latterly, it was the health issue with the Council of Canadians that probably was a beginning of getting involved in social issues. And that was very important, of course, health.
What about your early life? Were there any elements there that would have led you to social justice issues later on?
I don't think so. I was totally apolitical.
Betty, can we ask you the same question? How did you get involved in social justice issues?
Not certain when it began, except that I grew up in a small village in Nova Scotia. We were close to another community when we would go on vacations, in particular in the summertime. And we would pass a community of black people. My father would make unpleasant remarks, and it bothered me. They were living in these tiny little houses, but remote from everything, and I just couldn't understand the attitude. So I thought about it. I didn't really do anything about it, but I thought about it. When I married, I left Halifax and moved to Montreal, and I was happy to go because I knew that my friends and a lot of other people were very prejudiced, and I couldn't really do anything about that.
You're talking about when you were very young.
That would have been in the 30s and the 40s. When I got to Montreal, I remember the very first thing I did with my daughter. There was a strike at, I think it was Maple Leaf Flour. I can't really remember exactly why we became involved, but it seemed to me that the workers may have been on strike and they brought in the police with guns or something, some sort of weapons. We were part of a march that went by that. We just thought, how could they do this? Mm-hmm. And since then, I guess I've marched for a lot of other things. Mm-hmm. Women's rights, violence against women, the OCA crisis, we were there too. We went on the buses. I don't think most people understood that the army was there with tanks against unarmed natives. It was unbelievable. Then I met Pat, and we were involved in the Council of Canadians. We've gone on many marches because of, to me, oppression from our own government.
One of the other things that we did together with many, many others was go to Quebec City in April of, that would have been 2004 or 2003 when they had the big G8, Bush was here.
I mean the Summit of the Americas.
That's right, the Summit of the Americas. And we went with busloads of us went from Concordia University and I'm sure McGill. I went with the Marxist-Leninist group from Montreal, which was quite interesting. That was something we felt we really had to be a part of because that was just atrocious. And we saw the pepper spray and the police with their all their regalia on, looking like something out of a Star Wars film. And it was absolutely horrifying. But we felt that we had to be there, and I'm very proud that we were there. But many people that we worked with looked at us as if we were a little off the wall, and you know, what are you doing? And you aren't you scared? And I don't remember being scared at all. We didn't plow right into a huge melee of people or police, but we were careful, but we certainly were there, and I'm glad we were there. We made a statement by being there, I think. They just can't put up these barriers and keep the people down.
You two women have spent a lifetime marching and protesting against injustices. There are a lot of people that say, well, it doesn't do any good anyway, we're just wasting our time. How would you answer that?
Well, a number of years ago, there was a horrible thing happened at Concordia where a professor murdered four other professors, and it was a dreadful thing. And they were remembered by some benches in the hall building of Concordia. Each one of them had a saying on it that was favored by a particular professor. And the one that caught my eye was, "Who is silent consents?" And that has sort of been, not a motto exactly, but it's been something that I have it on the refrigerator, and I think of it. If you don't say you're against something, then you're going along with it, and you think it's okay. I've really lived by that, or I tried to live by that, or use it as an inspiration of that professor. And I'd like to think that I do what I can, letter writing and all this kind of stuff. I'm very involved in the Stephen Lewis, the grandmother to grandmother campaign of the Stephen Lewis Foundation. Canada promised to send affordable generic drugs over to developing countries for AIDS and malaria and tuberculosis, and Canada has failed again and again and again to do this, although we have the facilities to do it, and it's the pharmaceutical lobbyists in Ottawa that seem to be running the show. Meanwhile, millions of people are dying, and it makes me sick. As Stephen Lewis said, he doesn't know how these people can look themselves in the mirror in the morning. And that's something we've been fighting the government about again and again and again, and unfortunately, eventually it was passed by the House last March, and we were all thrilled. We were all there to watch it, and we were delighted. And it would go to the Senate, and it would just cream through in about 2 or 3 days. Well, of course, it was stalled in the Senate, and eventually the election was called, and it was dead. So we're starting all over again now. So that's one thing I'm very keen on at the moment, is getting that bill passed and getting that medication over to the people that need it.
So you certainly don't feel that you've wasted your time. No. What about Betty? You know, how would you respond to those people that say, oh, well, nothing's going to change, and that's human nature, and there's nothing we can do about anything?
Well, I guess I don't listen to them, because it's not true. We have to do our part in bringing this to everybody's attention, but particularly to young people, because they're the ones who are going to have to do the fighting. I'm sure there are so many who really want to do something. I know in the past election, a lot of young people voted for the NDP, hoping that there would be a change, and were extremely disappointed when it didn't work out. And I hope they haven't given up hope and will really push again. They have to vote. I know when they don't vote, it's because they think it won't do any good. But you have to pick somebody to vote for, the one that's closest to you. And that's the most important thing. We've got to get rid of the government that we have now. I know it'll be 4 years, and they can do enormous damage in that time, but we can't give up.
At the end of September, we all met in Ottawa at a civil disobedience action against the Keystone XL pipeline. And Pat, you were arrested. Betty, you were there supporting. And you also went over the fence, and you were prepared to be arrested as well, I think.
No, you were a support person.
However,
of consequences, and I had to be careful.
So, Pat, what is it that drove you over the edge from the letter writing to actually acts of civil disobedience?
Well, that's the first time I'd ever done anything like that. And, of course, I was scared, I have to admit. But I just felt I'd gone this far. I may as well go full hog. So I did.
And
that's right. In for a penny, in for a pound. I'm glad I did. We made our points, I think, those that were there. It didn't matter whether you were on one side of the fence or the other. There were a lot of people there, and I think our point was made, and made well, and made strongly. We just have to keep doing that, so that Harper just cannot keep doing the things that he's got free range now to do pretty well what he wants to do. And I think we have to keep also reading alternative things other than what is in the newspapers, and there is all kinds of alternative magazines and press we can read where we may find out something a little closer to the truth than what we're reading in even the vaunted Globe and Mail and certainly the Montreal Gazette. And we have to keep talking about it as much as we can. Everybody rolls their eyes when we start again, but still, it's important, I think.
Well, here we are sitting around the table, the three of us. I mean, we would have in total over 200 years of experience of life. I personally think it's extremely important that people and older people as well continue to commit acts of non-violent civil disobedience. I assume that you would agree with that. What about Betty?
Oh, I totally agree with that. What do we have to lose and what can we gain?
Pat, does it bother you to continue to break the law?
No, I don't think so. As long as it was for a good reason. And no, I would do it again. Absolutely. I wasn't mad keen on going to jail for 3 or 4 days, I'll have to admit. But that was the alternative. They certainly painted a picture of all the things what could have happened. And it was so wonderfully organized, that whole event. But, oh, no, absolutely, I would do it again, for sure, yeah.
Betty, given the state of the world, would you consider taking part in illegal activities, non-violent illegal activities?
Oh, yes, I would do that. I have to be aware of consequences to my family, but I certainly would do whatever it takes to make a better world.
When you're looking back over your lives, what would you say now are the absolutely crucial issues of our times?
Well, I got a sheet of questions from the NDP yesterday that asked those very same things that we're supposed to fill out. I think one thing that is very important at the moment is the environment. When we see what's happening in Alberta with the tar sands, and they keep calling them oil sands, and you hear the people that are saying how wonderful they are and it's jobs, and the petroleum people that have this wonderful ad on the television that makes me sick. It's just awful what they expect us to believe and swallow. I think when we've seen pictures of the tar sands from the air and we know what's happening to the Athabasca magnificent rivers and even here in Quebec, also they're damming up that wonderful river that I have seen, and it is so beautiful roaring by that it makes you cry, and they want to dam that up so we can send power to the state of New York and down, and they're just totally destroying the country for short-term gain without any thought. And I'm very happy that the First Nations are digging their heels, except for one out in BC. They've taken some financial help and they've given in to a certain degree. I forget what the Kitsu, or I'm not entirely sure what band they are, but they have swallowed the tail they've been given. But the others have dug in their heels, and I hope they continue to do so, because that could put a little stop to it if they won't let them go through their land. And of course, the present government will try all kinds of devious routes to undermine that, but. I just hope that doesn't happen. As I said before, I'm from British Columbia, and it makes me sick to think of all that. We've done so much damage already to that province that to think of it any more happening out there is just beyond belief.
What about Betty? What would you say was a priority for people listening to this now? Where should they get involved, did you think?
I believe they should be involved in the environmental movement. You know, you can be proud of the ones who are now in South Africa, who are trying to stand up to our government. And I would hope that there'll be more and more young people doing this. And I hope that somehow we can support the native peoples across the country to resist, because it would be totally devastating to have that pipeline go to the West Coast. It would be devastating in every way you can think. There was another oil spill by a company that's involved in the tar sands, and they've destroyed a whole area in the United States. So that it's, I mean, all of us have to do it, but I really want young people to think about the world and trying to keep it for at least a certain amount of time, because I'm afraid it could end.
Yeah. Pat, do you have any comments?
No, I certainly agree with Betty's ideas on the environment. Of course, we have to take care of our health care as well, particularly for those of us that are getting are already older, and eventually something will happen to us, and we want to, but we're trying to stay as healthy. And I think that's another thing our age group are doing much better. We are taking care of ourselves, I think, if we can, as best we can, by eating better or eating food that we should be eating and not the stuff we shouldn't be eating. So I think we are trying on a personal level to take good care of ourselves so that we have the strength and the energy. Of course, we don't have the energy that we had when we were 20, but I think it's amazing the energy we do have and what we are able to accomplish. I think it's terrific. I think we're a great, great bunch of ladies.
Any comments?
No, I agree.
Okay, well, I think that's probably enough. We have 22 minutes. We'll cook you down to about